heading to the finish line for Thursday, NCHEA 2020. Focus on the mission. So the last thing we got to do is finish up with a good presentation on how to survive a survey. And if there's one thing that can really stress you out is a bad survey. And what's really important about a survey is starting off strong. I don't even know what your presentation is, but I know you got to start off strong. If you start off crooked, it stays crooked. So don't start off crooked. Stay strong. Mark, I'll let you introduce yourself. Appreciate you being here. And the floor is yours.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate you being here. And on behalf of Fire and Life Safety America and NCHEA, thanks a lot for sitting here and listening to this presentation today. So I am the Director of Healthcare Solutions for Fire and Life Safety America. I've been in the life safety industry going on for 14 years now, and I've been blessed because I get to travel around across the whole country and meet with hospitals just like yours. And what I've done is I've built a presentation that's a little bit different than what you're used to. Usually when you hear about different facilities being accredited, you hear it from the facility perspective. Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my perspective in dealing with people who are constantly going through accreditations. Okay? So a little bit about me. I have six children. I live on a farm. I have five girls and one boy. I coach three soccer teams. I'm active in Taekwondo, and I enjoy a lot of sports. So just to begin with, we deal with many different organizations, ranging from the Joint Commission, DMV, HVAP, CARF, UCA, and when it comes to accreditation, they're all doing the same thing. They're going through the survey process. So my goal for you today is to take 10 things away from this presentation. The following information really highlights the feedback that I get from you during meeting with you and your peers, and it also comes from the 2,000 accredited facilities that we currently work with right now. So I broke this down into an outline form into four important points, and that's organization, communication, mock surveys, capacity, and capabilities. So when we talk about being organized, it's very important that we stay organized in this industry. And what falls under organization is kickoff meetings, documentation, progress meetings, and compliance review. How many of you currently have kickoff meetings when you onboard a new vendor? Or how many vendors out here are active in kickoff meetings? It's a very important process. When you bring a new vendor into your hospital, you want to talk to them about above ceiling permits. If you're dealing with a life safety company who services a lot of apartments, commercial buildings, government buildings, and things like that, healthcare facilities are completely different. Completely different. You have to understand there's a process for everything. There's documentation for everything. Above ceiling permits are very, very important. If I'm a technician and I'm used to providing services at a college or a university, I am not used to asking the maintenance staff if I can go above the ceiling. And then you have to check out with the maintenance staff when you go above the ceiling. You want them to look at it. You want to make sure that there's no hole penetrations. It's very important. Interim life safety measures and alternative life safety measures, whether you're a Joint Commission or DMV accredited, that will apply to you. You want to discuss that. What happens when you're onboarding a company and they find a deficiency? What's the next step? What do you want them to do? It's very important that you clarify that with them, because finding a deficiency at a commercial building is completely different than finding a deficiency at a hospital. Most hospitals want deficiencies corrected within 24 hours. CMS requires 60 days. Most hospitals are 24 hours though. Technicians, it's very important that they check in and out every single day. If you're a chief engineer or a compliance manager at a hospital, you want to know what's failing. You want to know what inventory is being inspected. You want to know what areas of the hospital that the technician could not get into. Contact information. How many people move around in the healthcare industry? It's constant. Chief engineers will be at one hospital, and then five years later, they might be at another hospital. Same thing with technicians. They might be with one company, and they move around to another company. Know who your primary contact is, your secondary contact, and what happens if the contact changes. If we're an inspecting company and we're calling the hospital to schedule inspections and that person is no longer there and the secondary person is no longer there, what's the process for finding out who the contact is? And these things happen. This is real life stuff that we go through every single day. All right, during your kickoff meetings, it's very important. Every single healthcare facility out there has a fire alarm panel, and it's important when you're meeting with your company that you order stock parts for your fire alarm panel. Whether it's a Simplex panel, a Siemens panel, EST3, order stock parts for it, okay? That way, during your inspection process, you can set a threshold. Hey, anything below $500 or $1,000, whatever your healthcare group decides, go ahead and fix those things on site while you're performing the inspection. Okay, you set the threshold. And what I see across the country in meeting with healthcare groups is there's different thresholds. Some healthcare groups set it at 250, some set it at 500, some set it at 1,000. Build your schedule a year out. It's very important that when it comes to accreditation that you have a set schedule that's built for a year out. And the reason is because when it comes to surveys, you have plus or minus days. For quarterly, plus or minus 10, semi-annual, plus or minus 15, and an annual, plus or minus 30. And then you have the 5 years, the 3-year test, things like that. It's very important that you stay within those windows. Life safety drawings, I never ask for up-to-date life safety drawings because healthcare facilities rarely have up-to-date life safety drawings. A hospital is a living, breathing machine. Things are being moved around every single day. There's general contractors involved. There's subcontractors involved. And if I'm the inspecting company, the general contractor may not choose my company to do the repairs. And those parts are being moved around. The fire alarm parts are being moved around. It's important that we keep on top of that. If you are familiar with a software similar to PlanGrid or something of that nature, technicians can use that software. They can download your life safety drawings and move your devices around through an overlay, and I highly recommend that. Lastly, share your accreditation experience. Let your company know your expectations up front, and all these things will be very important when you get to the progress meetings. So documentation, internal versus vendor documentation. If I'm performing the quarterly inspections at your facility, and you have CMMS software that you use to issue your work orders, make sure that my description of that inventory matches your description of the inventory. If I'm performing an inspection on a pool station that's by room 109, and you have it marked on your software as by Southwest Airwell, well, it gets really confusing when you start comparing inventory through your CMMS system and then our inspection reports. So it's very important if you have a barcoding system currently, when you're meeting with your company, let them know your expectations. Hey, put your location of where the device is on your inspection report and reference my barcode. That way, when you go to match the inventories, they match perfectly. And if they don't match perfectly, you can figure out the reason which device is missing. Do you have online or paper documentation? Who builds and updates the binders? So is it done internally? Does the hospital do it? Does your vendor partner do it? It's important to know that. Discuss that. Is it in the correct format? If you're DMV accredited and you have an inspection report that's in Joint Commission format and lists all the EPs for ECO 20305, it's not going to do you much good when DMV comes in there. Make sure it's in the correct format. Make sure the correct applicable codes and standards are referenced on your inspection report. You would be amazed when I fly across the country and I meet with healthcare facilities just like yours, how many inspection reports I look at that are in the wrong, that reference the wrong standards and codes, the wrong years. It's very important. It's an easy finding for a surveyor. All right, progress meetings. So when we talk about organization, we talked about the kickoff meeting. Now it comes full circle for the progress meetings. And with the healthcare division that I've built, we have progress meetings with our hospitals on frequent basis. We set that up weekly when we first take over the hospital, and then we let the hospital dictate how often they want us to continue to do it, whether it's weekly, every other week, monthly, or quarterly. During your progress meetings, if you're a decision maker at a hospital or a chief engineer, grade your vendor based off of the information that you discuss in your kickoff meeting. Hey, Mark, we discussed these above ceiling permits, and your technicians have come out, they've done the inspection, I have tampers above the ceiling, and they are not pulling the permits. During the progress meeting, if you discuss that and you give me a C, for any company out there that cares about your business, they are going to want to work to earn an A grade with you. And if they don't, you've got the wrong company out there. Grade your vendors every time you meet with them, based on the kickoff standards that you both set when you're talking. That's so important. It creates a paper trail, for one, and if you have troubles with that vendor, you're able to say, hey, I've met with you over the past 7 or 8 weeks. You've had a C grade. This is subpar. We've really got to look at this. Discuss best practices to be prepared for the survey. Make sure all of your devices are 100% tested. You know, in the apartment world, you can go in and you can do an inspection and you can put no access to unit 109. Can you do that at a healthcare facility? No, you cannot. In healthcare, you have to test everything 100%. It's very important. Are deficiencies addressed in a timely manner? I often hear that companies go out, they perform the inspection, and they don't get the paperwork. The hospital never gets the paperwork. Or there's a deficiency, and there's no trailing paperwork for that. Also, make sure that you have all of the documentation for off-site buildings, your ASCs, things like that. All right, compliance review. This is very important. If you have a compliance team at your facility, make sure your compliance team is working with your vendor's compliance team. At Fire and Life Safety America, we have a compliance team. There's a couple other companies like Fire and Life Safety America that have internal compliance teams. It's important that they are working with your compliance team. Make sure all EPs are accounted for. Make sure you're receiving documentation in a timely fashion. Don't have compliance meetings just in your survey window. So if you have your survey window and you wait until then to start having these compliance meetings, well, it's too late. It's hard for a company to give you documentation on stuff that happened 2 years ago. You gotta have these weekly progress meetings or every other week progress meetings. Make sure that your deficiencies have supporting documentation. The deficiency was fixed, it was corrected, it was retested, and it passed. That's important to have for your binder. Communication. All right, so we got through organization. It gets shorter. I'm going to end this in like 15 minutes, so just bear with me. Communication. It's very important to have positive communication, be direct, have ongoing training partnerships, and also it's very important to have leadership presence. Positive communication. Our accreditation window is during these months. Let your company know when your survey is, when it's coming up. It's important. If your company's out there performing inspections, meet with the technicians every single day. Hold them accountable for that. When you get to the hospital, check in with me. When you leave the hospital, check out with me. Okay? I want you to review things that you tested today, and I want also to review things that failed. Did they pass? If they did not pass, where are we at with getting it fixed? Even when your company's not out there performing inspections, for example, you have quarterly inspections, talk to your current vendor every single week. You have a lot of moving parts in your hospital. There's devices being moved, as I mentioned before. Make sure you discuss these things. We have to have positive communication. Volunteer together with your company. Build trust, create a partner, not another vendor. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had a tornado in Nashville. The first thing I did is I reached out to my healthcare partners out there that we currently inspect out there. And I said, hey, we really appreciate your business. Let me know where we can partner with you and volunteer. Where can we help at? And it's important for you to build that trust with your current vendor as well. Be direct. Review the inspection reports. This is what we're looking for. Let them know what you're looking for when you're reviewing your inspection reports. Hey, this is perfect or this is subpar. You've got to coach your team, including your vendor. Make sure you're receiving all of your company's documentation in a timely manner, like I said before. If you are new to a facility, contact your vendors and your partners immediately. That's the biggest stressful situation I see right now is if a chief engineer is new to a facility, they get to that facility, and they have no documentation. They don't know where to look. They don't know where to find. They don't know who to contact at their current vendor. So make sure you do that right away. And this should never be one-sided, okay? It should never be the hospital looking at documentation. Make sure you involve your partner. If there is an inventory discrepancy, be able to call it out. It's totally fine that you have 9 water flows on this inspection and 8 on the next inspection, but you have to be able to speak to it. All right, ongoing training. Accreditation companies, they change their standards sometimes. It's important that your documentation is up to date. NFPA issues TIAs quite often. It's important that you are inspecting your facility according to those TIAs. Work in partnership with your vendor. They're the expert in life safety. Most of the chief engineers I deal with and compliance managers are experts in life safety too. Your vendors are constantly going through training, through NFPA training, and things like that. Chief engineers, they're responsible for all the lives in their hospital. People don't realize that, and they have a lot of weight on their shoulders to keep their hospital safe and secure. So accreditation binders need to be current. CMS, they often issue memorandums, and we need to make sure that the binders are including those. Leadership presence is very crucial. I can tell you that when I meet with the healthcare facility and we take over the hospital, when they have the CEO or the COO there, it makes the meeting that much more important. It shows that management all the way up to the top is invested in what you're doing. They're vested in this partnership as well. There's oftentimes I'm speaking with a hospital on the phone, and the COO gets on the phone and says, hey, I support my chief engineer. Whatever he or she says, that's what I'm supporting. That's very important to have that leadership presence. And it shouldn't be one-sided. It shouldn't just be the hospital that has leadership presence. It should be presence from your vendor as well. If you're communicating just with your vendor, just with their technician, that's probably not a good scenario for your hospital. Make sure you get service managers involved, district managers involved. I know my CEO, he's been with me on a few meetings as well, and it means a lot. Discuss the accreditation survey and the impact that it has on your facility. You have to communicate that with your current vendor. The healthcare industry, again, it's different than apartments. It's different than than commercial buildings and things like that. And it's crucial that you, from your expertise, relay that to your current company, okay? Because they might not know about accreditation. All right, the third point, there's only 4 points, so I'm on the third one. Thank you for bearing with me. I know I'm the last presenter today. So mock surveys. How many of you hire a mock survey company? Yes. Responsiveness of those surveys, timeliness, transparency, and involvement. If you hire a company to do your mock survey, that's great. Don't just allow that company to do your mock survey. You've got some really great industry professionals to help do your mock survey for you. Make sure you perform your mock surveys quarterly. Get your competitor. If Fire and Life Safety America, the company that I work for, is currently doing your inspections, call one of our competitors to look at our paperwork. They're going to perform a free mock survey for you because they're going to want to earn your business. Get them in there. And I can tell you, if you call a company that comes into your facility and they look at your binder and they don't understand the binder, they don't understand your EPs, you probably know you're not dealing with the right company. Make sure you're dealing with somebody who understands healthcare. NFPA is one thing, accreditation is another thing. Group effort, again, it's a team effort. Get the compliance teams. There's a lot of healthcare groups now that have compliance managers, and there's a lot of healthcare groups that rely on the chief engineer to keep all the documentation. So no matter what your situation is at the hospital, make sure that your team's involved. All right, when it comes to the mock surveys, I have been at a lot of facilities when the weekly inspections come up, and it's the current technicians or the maintenance staffs that might be doing the weekly, for example, diesel pump checks, okay? It's important that documentation gets printed out and put in the binder every single week. Don't wait until the end of the year to start printing that information out. And I see it happen quite a bit across the country, and it takes a long time to get that in there. So do it every single week. All right, responsiveness of mock surveys. We need documentation. You've done the mock survey. You realize what you need. If the codes and standards are incorrect, get them corrected immediately. Are there signatures on your inspection reports? Does the technician have his or her certifications on the inspection reports? If you're testing my smoke detectors at my hospital and you're using a calibrated tool to do that, you have to have a valid calibration certificate for that tool every single year. Backflow tests, they're calibrated. You've got to have that information. Anything, any tool that we use as a life safety company and it's able to be calibrated, you have to have that certificate every single year. Also, like I mentioned before, at the beginning of the presentation, make sure your inspection reports are in the right format. And be transparent. Hey, we've done a mock survey. Our expectation is moving forward. This is what we need. We need you to have documentation to us within 2 days, within 3 days, within 24 hours. Whatever it is, set the bar high and make sure you hold them accountable. Hey, your company's successful here, but not so much here. This is what you need to work on. And then develop a plan of action to address missing items. Again, involvement, make sure the teams are involved. You know, we have an internal compliance team that flies all over the country. They go to hospitals, they meet with the internal compliance team of healthcare groups, and they sit down and they look at their binders together and they make sure they're on the same page. Because when we mail out our binders to our hospitals, we want to make sure that their compliance people can speak to it because they're the ones going through the survey. If there's an inventory, a discrepancy, we want to make sure that the hospital can speak to it. And it's not just Fire and Life Safety America that does that. There's a lot of companies out there that do it. You must be proactive with mock surveys. Don't do it once every 3 years. Do it often. Lastly, make results tangible for a mock survey, okay? Once you have your mock survey, whether it's a competitor doing it, you hire a company to do it, make sure you write an email and you make that email tangible. Hey, these are the 30 points that we discussed during the mock survey. I need you to address these 30 points in the next 3 days. Make it something reflective that you can come back to. All right, last point, capacity and capabilities. This is huge in the healthcare industry because every healthcare group is growing right now. Every single one across the country. What are the growth expectations of your facility? Can your current vendor who is performing the inspections keep up with your facility's growth? Are you adding an 11-story building? Are you acquiring 20 ASCs, for example? And does your current company have the qualifications to grow with you? It's important to think about that. There's a lot of companies out there that might only do sprinkler inspections, for example, and you're installing a huge fire alarm system, okay? And you have another company doing your fire extinguisher inspections. You have another company doing your fire door inspections. You have another company doing your fire damper inspections. Well, pretty soon you've got six different companies to call to get documentation from. Some documentation's online, some documentation's handwritten. The less vendors that you have, the better off you'll be at your facility. Definitely if you're growing. Okay? There's companies out there that can take it on. There's quite a few companies that can take on many different services. Also, what support do they offer? Does the company that you're working with have a dedicated healthcare division? Can they talk your language? Do they know what an ILSM is and how that affects your facility and the paper trail that it creates? It's important to know that. All right, what does your accreditation look like in 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 years? It's important to discuss that. Lastly, we have had a lot of our, as I mentioned, we service about 2,000 accredited facilities right now, and the scopes are constantly changing. And one request that we've had of late, is for our customers. They have asked us to count every single sprinkler head in their hospital by smoke compartment and by type. And it's not just one healthcare group doing that. It's a lot of different healthcare groups asking us that now. And make sure that your company can grow with you when there are new scopes. New construction. If your current inspection company has a new construction division, try and work with your general contractor to make sure they're awarded the work, if possible. It's good to have that one company do everything. That way they're aware of the inventory changes. Lastly, does your current company have accreditation experience? If you're managing a hospital and your company's technician comes in and the first thing they say to you is, it's my first time in a hospital, does that make you a little nervous? Yeah, yes, I hear that quite a bit. Make sure your current vendor has a qualified healthcare group. It's so important. Surveys only happen so often. You want to get them right. Not only is it important that the company's managers understand the language, but it's important that the technicians understand the language too. Okay? Because if you're working with the technicians and they don't understand it, or you're working with the managers and they understand it and the technicians don't, things can get lost in translation. Okay? So make sure everybody within the company that you're working with understands it and they have a dedicated team. All right, so just to recap the 4 points, be organized, communicate with your current vendor, okay? Make sure you're proactively reaching out to your current vendor every single week, even if they're not there on a quarterly inspection. Do mock surveys quarterly. Every life safety company out there wants to earn additional business. Use that to your benefit. If you're using Fire and Life Safety America, call another company in there. Say, hey, come here and look at my binders. Or if you're using company A, B, and C, call one of their competitors and ask them to look at your binders. Okay? I always welcome that. My goal is to be perfect, and I think that's everybody's goal in the life safety industry. However, there's things that are missed. There's people who don't understand NFPA. There's people who don't understand accreditation, for example. Mock surveys, again, perform them often, and then capacity and capabilities. Make sure the company that you currently use, if you're adding 20 ASCs, make sure they can grow with you. All right, that's the condensed version of this presentation. I really appreciate y'all's time. Thankful, Dion, to you for allowing us to come and present as well.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, guys, that was good. That was really good. I mean, I've been dealing through a lot of surveys, and what you hit on are a lot of the stuff that helps it go better. So that wraps up today's program. Tomorrow we have patient experience. Brett Martin's over here. He's going to be talking about water mitigation. So when that sprinkler head on the seventh floor goes off, he's going to tell us just call the insurance company right then.
Get wet.
Bring your galoshes to work with you. And we got the state. Don, they need a list of names that are going
to
be here tomorrow. Thank you. So tomorrow, hot breakfast in their registration room over here. Starts at 7 o'clock. We'll kick off here at 8:30. Y'all have a great evening. Thank you.